listening to a Count Out Podcast.
Clap sync it then.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Ow.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Independent Waters. I am your host, Mikey Manfredi, and joining me, as always, is Zach Gimo Batista. Zach, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing quite well these days. I wish that certain wrestling companies weren't going through a fucking shitstorm right now, but I am hopeful for the future.
To be transparent, fans, we had a weird day yesterday where we usually record, so we're recording the day of this episode is getting released, which is also the day of the Dynamite after All Out 2022, which is where everyone knows the shitstorm happened between Punk and the Elite. And here we are. We're just going to... That's a thing that is currently happening that we are all trying to figure out what the fuck the consequences are going to be. But we are not going to talk about that.
Yeah,
because you have all probably heard enough of it already, and have probably heard way too much. So, we are going to talk about the independent wrestling scene, and we have a different format this week, don't we?
We do.
We're going to be taking things in a little bit of a different direction. Instead of three random matches that me and Zach just randomly picked, and we're like, yeah, we'll do that, we'll watch that one. We're going to start every week, we're going to start focusing on one promotion, and working through some matches there, to give you an idea of how this promotion is and like what the matches are like and see if you'd like to check it out. So today we are kicking things off with our focusing on promotions. The one we are focusing on this week is Pro Wrestling Legacy. We've reviewed some Pro Wrestling Legacy matches in the past. We've seen some superstars do what they can do. Zach, I'm excited to get into this one.
I am quite excited as well. I was quite pleased with pretty much all the matches that we got from Pro Wrestling Legacy, but I expected as much.
Yeah, me too. I have been, I have also been super impressed, and everything we've seen from them so far has been top notch. We've seen some fun matches, some fun like cinematic style matches. We've seen some like hour long bangers. We've seen everything we've seen from them has been solid. Mm-hmm. Of course, Pro Wrestling Legacy, based out of El Paso, Texas, and they actually, we reached out to them on Twitter, and they gave us matches that they think represent the company well, so we are going to talk about those three matches that they gave us, which are a Fatal 4-Way match from Lucha City, El Cobarde versus Marty Snow versus El Dragon versus Cosmo Orion. This is for the PWL World Championship. We have Stallion Rogers taking on El Cobarde in a singles match. And last but not least, we have Gimo Cambinari taking on Stefan Prince for the Lone Star title.
Mm-hmm.
Three matches suggested to us straight from the source, straight from Pro Wrestling Legacy. So go check these out when you're done listening to this show, of course.
Yeah.
So Zach, why don't we get into these matches? Which one do you want to take a look at first?
Let's start out with Rogers and Cobarde.
Yeah, let's do it. I think we had a great opening sequence here to start us off in this match.
It was so crisp, so nice.
So crisp, so clean, so smooth. Everything looked great on this opener. And of course it ends with them both doing like a front handspring and landing on their feet and just staring at each other.
Mm-hmm. They had these. Oh, it's just very nice back and forth. Like just
very, very
really
good. Very, yeah. Very solid. Very solid wrestling to start us off. What? There were some other cool spots in this match, Zach. You want to take us through it since you're so good at it?
Of course. so let's see. There was There was a lot, that back and forth sequence was really nice because it went from technical to then hard hitting strikes and then some flippy shit.
Yep.
Like there was a corkscrew arm drag, I think, from Kobarde
just,
that looked
it
nice.
It just went through the whole spectrum in like a quick burst of like energy.
Mm-hmm. I think at the end of it, Rogers ended up getting this control of the match with a suicide dive.
Yes.
And then he battered Kobarde for a bit, hit a massive dropkick bomb, and then he hit his signature spike DDT, where if you've never seen Stallion Rogers, what he does is he basically grabs his opponents by their wrists, stands on their feet, and yanks them up, and as they're falling into him, he lets go of their feet, and he DDTs them back into the ground. It's cool. It's a nice looking move. He literally just kicked Kobarde while he was down. But I liked how during this, like,
you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. But I like how slowly but surely you can also see that Roger's frustration in this match was continuously growing. Like, with every passing minute that Kobarde wasn't staying down or wouldn't lose, he was starting to be more and more annoyed.
Yeah, he was just getting more and more pissed off the whole match.
There was a point, actually, where after this frustration built, Rogers chopped what I've written down here as the soul out of Kobarde.
Yeah.
And he sat up and taunted him, so he ate a dropkick to the face and then a German suplex into the mat. So you fuck around and find out, I guess. You know, he just, at this point in the match, he's went from, like, kind of respectful, like, handshakes to just full-on aggression and disrespect. Fuck this guy. Fuck you. Fucking lose. God damn it. Finally, though, however, Kobarde does actually get a comeback with a super kick to Rogers' mouth. He gets a stupid amount of height off of a beautiful-looking missile dropkick, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then a devastating senton onto Rogers on the outside into several rows of chairs. This happened quite a bit in our matches, as I've noticed.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
A suicide diver senton, which knocked the person back into, like, rows of chairs, which always looked nice. Kobarde now in control rolls Rogers back to the ring. Rogers tries to get up, but he gets bludgeoned with a very impressive-looking swanton from Kobarde off the top rope. Where Kobarde's in control for a little bit more, and Rogers hits him with a literal gunshot of a chop to the chest. Spoiler alert, in case you haven't been able to pick up, Rogers has very nice chops.
Yeah, they absolutely rang out throughout the entire arena. It was ridiculous.
Oh yeah, the chop off these two had was fucking awesome. Literally jaw on the floor level material for me. Like, each chop didn't miss. It was so nice.
Mm-hmm.
I think the stop was stop chop off was that Rogers ducked one of the chops and then knocked Kobarde into the corner. He then beat the shit out of him until he fell back to the bottom of the corner. But when he turned around to walk away, Kobarde got up, kneed him in the face. He got up, literally did the same thing back to Rogers, forearms in the corners, knocked him back down so he was sitting in the corner. After that, he then goes to the opposite corner, but, of course, Rogers comes after him, so he knees him in the face. He goes to the top rope, but Rogers is able to stop him. The two exchange a bit more, if I recall correctly, and in the end, Rogers sends them both crashing to the mat with a superplex. They lay on the mat for a while, and eventually they both get to their knees at the same time. They go back and forth with some more forearms. They get to their feet. It just devolves to them slapping each other at some point, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. Yeah, there was one point where they both stood up and just got into, like, a smack-off.
Mm-hmm. Until Kobarde, Rogers takes Kobarde out with a running headbutt. He hits him with this several times, by the way. Like, on the top rope, on just every pull he can, he hits him with this running headbutt, which is Rogers' finisher. It is a nasty-looking move, and it's got good impact, and I like it a lot, basically.
Mm-hmm.
However, so after the two of them get to their feet, they slap each other, and Rogers takes Kobarde out with the headbutt. Rogers goes to pin Kobarde, but Kobarde gets his foot on the bottom rope. In an absolute shock at this, Rogers takes off both his elbow pads, puts Kobarde in the top rope, hits him again in the face with a headbutt, and goes up there with him. And it looks like it's all over for Kobarde, but he then slips through Rogers' legs, pulls Rogers' head down, super kicks him in the face, and then he wins the match by hitting a spinning fireman's carry driver he calls the Thunder Bomb for the win.
Yeah.
This match is really fucking good.
Yeah, it was
a very easy to watch match. It was the longest of all the matches they gave us, and I watched specifically because I was like, all right, let's get the long match out of the way. It's going to take the longest for me to watch and go up to, and then it actually was the easiest one. Like, I blinked, I was like, oh, the match is already, like, done.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's one of those you can't look away from because they just run it through so smooth and so quickly, and everyone just, like, both guys in this match are just very good at what they do.
Yeah. What would you give this match, Mikey?
I give it a high meh. I thought it was good. I don't think it got that marked out for me, but I thought it was really, really good. Or, sorry, wait, we're not doing that anymore. Ha-ha!
Oh, fuck, we're not. Shit.
Right, we've changed from our high, our miss out meh markout scale to our doubloon scale of 1 to 5. I'll give this one, like, I think I'll give this one, like, a 3 3/4, maybe 4. Because it was pretty good.
I didn't get, like, the five
doubloons, but, like, almost 4, I think. It was a solid match.
I'd probably give 4.5 doubloons.
Nice!
Right. Literally just for the fact that this match was stupidly well executed.
Then I'll go up to the 4 instead of 3 1/4 or whatever. I'll go up
stupidly well executed. Like, I actually was in shock at how pretty much all these spots went about as planned, if not better, if I were to guess.
Yeah, it was like Zach said, it was mind-bogglingly smooth how well this match went.
So, off of that, Mikey, I'll let you pick 4-way or the Lone Star Belt match.
Let's go with the clusterfuck that is this 4-way.
Yeah, this had the most notes because, surprise, a fucking
4-way. Oh my goodness gracious, man, it was long. It wasn't long, it was just a lot.
It was a lot, and it made it feel like this match lasted longer than I had thought it would when I was writing this out. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
The context you need in this match, because the other match didn't really have a
this
context.
This match took me like an hour to watch because I had to keep rewinding and taking notes, rewinding and taking notes, rewinding and taking notes.
The gist of it is, for those of you that have watched the show for a while, you'll know that Snow and Cosmo Orion are longtime rivals. Cosmo beat Snow for the PWL title when it first became a thing. And Cobarde and Dragon were a tag team at one point, so they know each other quite well, but in this match are, like, multi-time champions. There's, like, fucking 5 belts in the ring before this match starts. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, this should have been a winner-take-all match.
Fucking belt collector extraordinaire. And then there's just Cosmo defending the one belt.
Yeah, right?
Bless his
the
soul.
Only, it's like there's 5 belts in the ring, and only one of them is being defended.
And it's the only one, as far as I know, is PWL's, too. So it's just like, oh, my God.
Who right had the other bat, ones? El Dragon, right? Had a bunch of them?
Yeah, El Dragon and fucking Cobarde both had belts.
Yeah.
Multiple belts, if I recall correctly.
The whole squad is rolling in gold, except for Marty Snow.
He's a bastard. One day he'll get his due.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
I liked how right off the bat we got like a Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn thing. It was Cosmo just took Snow out with a single leg drop kick.
Ignoring everybody else in the match, and it's just like Cosmo and Snow are just gonna fight forever. I would have loved to see that throughout this whole match, just them, like, no matter who was attacking them, they just ignore everybody else and go after each other.
Mm-hmm. This match actually ended up becoming, for a while, Marty Snow and, and Cosmo Ryan going up against Dragon and Cobarde, because they really, like, took advantage in the beginning of this match with the double teams.
Yeah.
Chops, a 3D into a Hurricane Rana.
Because Cobarde and Dragon are a tag team, right?
Yes, they are. Which is why when Cosmo gets back into this ring after the two of them beat him down with the chops, he actually was able to counter that 3D, like I say, with the Hurricane Rana.
Yeah.
So Cobarde went to the ropes and to the outside, and it was Cosmo and Dragon for a while. They kind of just tried to outdo each other, and in the end, Dragon, Hurricane Rana, Cosmo out of the ring.
Yep.
And it was clear at this point, so in comes Marty Snow, who beats the shit out of Dragon because he hasn't gotten
to
do anything.
It's a fatal four-way. You fight your opponent, you throw them out of the ring, and then another person runs in and starts fighting you.
Mm-hmm. So he lays Dragon flat on the top rope, and he basically nails him with back-to-back running knees to his gut. But this revolving door really doesn't stop, because from behind Snow, Cobarde gets to the top rope, and he turns around, and Cobarde takes him out with a spectacular-looking diving crossbody.
Mm-hmm.
And try as Snow might, he really could not get his hands on Cobarde here. Cobarde took every opportunity to bob, weave, and hit Snow without him getting a finger on him, basically. Yeah. Until he finally knocked Snow out of the ring with a backwards rolling enziguri.
Which looked awesome.
Mm-hmm. Cobarde goes for a suicide dive on Snow, but mid-run, Cosmo just straight up steals his suicide dive from him, which I thought was amazing and hilarious at the same time. Like, you ever just get your suicide dive stolen. So Dragoon's like, well, fuck it. It's like, fuck just happened. I don't know. So if I recall correctly after this, Dragoon jumps to the ring. The two fight. Dragoon tries to slip under the bottom rope, and Kabaddi takes him out with a suicide dive instead. Everyone's out on the outside, and the first two back in the ring are Cosmo and Kabaddi. They exchange some running clotheslines in the corner.
Can I just say, your note-taking is impeccable, my friend. It is ridiculous. I could not keep up with this one for the life of me.
I tried. I tried real hard. This matches like these are the hardest. Like, that's why tag matches and clusterfucks are hard for me, because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
Like, the match is a literal revolving door. Like, Kabaddi and Cosmo are now in the ring, right? The two fight for control, and in comes Dragon, who tries to slam Cosmo and Kabaddi to the ground, but then Snow gets back into the ring, as the two of them are basically on the top rope in the middle of this Tower of Doom spot, and instead, Marty's like, eh, fuck that, we're not doing that. Dismantles the Tower of Doom.
Yep.
Bastard.
I like how, okay, spoiler alert, they do end up getting the Tower of Doom, but I like how they teased it a lot.
Mm-hmm. And Marty was just like, no. Mm-mm.
Also, sidebar, Max Caster just tweeted a picture of a microphone, and he said, guess what I have tonight.
I was laughing when I saw it.
Oh my god, he's gonna go off!
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be great.
Dude, I literally tweeted before on the Indie Water Sword, I go, I hope the Acclaimed are on Dynamite tonight, because Max's rap is gonna be insane.
He's got so much material.
Oh, good lord. Oh my god. He's gonna get suspended, no.
Fine for his flames or his rhymes being too hot.
Yeah, he's gonna say something bananas. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I'm so excited. Anyway, yeah. Continue. I'm sorry. So tonight's Dynamite's gonna be nuts.
It is. So Marty, as we said, has dismantled the Tower of Doom now, and the best part I love of this is he didn't do this just to win this match. He did this to specifically go after Cosmo by Samoa dropping him off of the fucking top rope. Like, he just picks him off. He's like, come here. Die.
Yep. Get over here.
I thought he was gonna go for the Snow's End, actually, but he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He then clears the ring. Dragon and Kabaddi keep trying to get back into this match, and Marty does the smart thing of just knocking them off the apron every time they try to get back up.
No! Stay out. Get.
He then
goes... swatting away like flies, like, get out of here.
He gets to the top rope, but before he can do anything, he gets halted by Kabaddi, who beats him with a strike. And inevitably, Marty shows Kabaddi, or he shoves Kabaddi off the top rope, but then has to deal with Cosmo, who now at this point has gotten up. He strikes him, heads to the top rope, but Marty is a stubborn bastard, heh heh. And he knocks both Cosmo and Kabaddi off this top rope. He's the king of the mountain here at this point. So they both, instead, together, run up, hit Snow, superplex him off the top rope. Dragoon gets underneath to powerbomb them. And we get our nice Tower of Doom spot here.
Yeah, it finally happened.
Dragon then hits Snow with a massive splash off the top rope to put him away, but the pin is broken up by Cosmo and Kabaddi, which leaves both Kabaddi and Orion being the ones left standing. Back and forth we go, battering each other with forearms, but Cosmo then hits a Codebreaker into his Mule Kick combo. He then confidently goes for Voyager 1, his springboard cutter, and when that's blocked, he hits him. He instead hits Kabaddi with a Fireman's Carry Flapjack, but it doesn't get him the win. Contrary to this, Kabaddi actually quickly bounces back from this. I was surprised how quickly he got up. They get it after this back and forth. He hits then Marty with Blue Thunderbomb. Holy shit! His Thunderbomb finisher that he had won in the match we just talked about. But the pin gets broken up by Marty, who then quickly gets into a fight with Kabaddi right afterwards. Got a couple of quick kicks from Kabaddi, encounters from Kabaddi. Snow flips him inside out with a ripcord lariat though. His dreams of winning are kicked away, though, when Dragon then super kicks him in the face mid-pin. And he, in short fashion, then takes it to Snow with a mean chop to the chest and an awesome slip under a big boot. Like, he literally Matrix slides under Snow's big boot, and he grabs his leg and yanks him backwards, which trips him up. I thought that spot looked fucking sick. That's like some coordinated, like, movie shit you see in, like, The Matrix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He then double-stomps Snow in the back. Throws him into the ropes, enziguris him in the face as he's laying, like, chest first on the middle rope. It's not going well for Snow. He went from dominant to just getting his shit rocked for a while. Dragon goes for a springboard something, and unfortunately, though, he slips off the top rope here. This, I felt his pain.
Oh, yeah.
And then he instead kicks Marty in the face and hits him with an elbow drop.
Slips off the top rope like Finn Balor against Roman Reigns.
Oh, my God. That's that bullshit-ass finish.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
At this point, Kabardi
won't
and...
get any more of those, hopefully.
Hopefully not. At this point, Kabardi and Orion are back in the mix, and Kabardi removes Orion from the ring quickly, though, with a dropkick before going up to Dragon, and it sets off a very fast chain of events. I could go through the whole thing, but it is literally like a full-on lucha-ass sequence with Dragon wiggling after Kabardi, Dragon then Enziguri Snow, Orion super-kicking. It's a full fucking hodgepodge, but in the end, everyone gets their licks in. Until they take Kabardi and Dragon take Orion out with a 3D. They go blow for blow, dodge Orion and Snow, who then run face first to each other, and they take out both of them with super kicks before Kabardi and Dragon super kick each other, and everyone collapses in the ring. That sequence had like 50,000 moves, but I feel like I'd just be talking forever.
Yeah, they all just kicked each other and hit each other and just went all around back and forth. It was just all chaos that ended up in all of them being on the ground.
And in the extremely rarest case scenario, as if hell had frozen over, Orion and Snow start to work together after this.
Oh, yeah, when Orion and Snow started working together, I was like, shit, now things have really hit the fan, huh?
Literally, like, you know it's bad when they're like, all right, these two need to, like, get dealt with, like, now.
It's like the can they coexist?
Mm-hmm. Honest to God, I'd be down to see Orion and Snow as a tag team. They could be face heel dynamic.
Yeah, because when
to do each other, I'd be down.
When they were working together in this match, they actually did like some solid double team maneuvers, which I wasn't expecting.
Mm-hmm. We had some double strikes from each other. There was some awesome. My favorite part of this was when fucking Snow has Dragon in the corner and he hits like a running. I think it was like drop kick to his face. And he pulls out Dragon's leg, and he tells Orion to go for it. So he splashes onto his leg, and it fucks up. I think it's Kabardi. No, it's he fucks Dragon's leg up. And I was like, oh, shit. So they then... I remember. Marty dropkicks... Orion dropkicks one of his legs that Snow tells him to, and then Snow knees him in the face. So Kabardi tries to stop this, but he gets taken out fast. Orion goes for Voyager 1 on his own, but all the damage he had taken beforehand, he just crumbles mid-run. So Snow picks him up and says, all right, I'll hold him. You do the cutter. So Orion gets up. He's like, all right, I got you. And as his back is turned, he doesn't see the Dragon has gotten up and pulled Kabardi off of Snow's shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
So when Orion pops off the ropes, he instead cutters Snow. He then throws Kabardi out of the ring. Orion gets up to stop him, gets super kicked in the face. Dragon's leg that Snow had told Orion to kick out falls out underneath him. Ref goes to look on him, and Orion at this point is collapsed onto Snow. And he
from
pins,
the super kick that
yeah,
was just
from
delivered.
The super kick, and he pins Snow as Dragon is holding this leg, and he's like, "What? No! Wait! What the fuck? No!"
That was one of the more creative endings I've seen in a Fatal 4-Way match.
Fucking Orion survived this match.
Orion didn't win this match, he survived this match, yeah.
And the irony that the only reason that Snow lost and he won was because of their double teaming. It's the only fucking reason.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, these two as a team, I'd be down to watch it.
So they try to work together. Shit, bad shit happens to both of them, but Orion kind of got lucky.
I feel like you could call them, like, some, like, play on words for, like, the Milky Way, because, you know, it's kind of, like, starry like the snow or something like that. Who knows?
It's kind of, wait, hold on, it's starry like the snow?
Yeah,
explain
like, what,
that.
Like, when you look and think of the Milky Way, it's like a bunch of, like, bright white stars, like, surrounding, like, a galaxy type thing.
Okay.
But I can't think of a cool-looking name off the top of my head.
No, that sounds bad. I had it in my head, and I was like, that's cool, and then I was gonna say it out loud. Cosnow?
Frost Nova.
Frost Nova's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like Frost Nova.
I appreciate that. It is free of charge.
Hey, Marty Cosmo, if you're listening, which actually I think you have before in the past, so if you're listening,
I could already hear my character Cosmo. That no one fucking way.
That one's free.
I just hear fucking.
If y'all ever team up, Frost Nova, that's free.
I can just imagine Snow being courtesy like, "No, fuck it." You just start laughing, and be like, "No," just walk away. Just no.
Or Cosmo. Cosmo is also on the table if you want it.
We have this too. Oh boy.
All right. So why don't we get? Oh, sorry. What are we gonna rate this match? We're gonna talk about that.
I think I'll give it 3.5 doubloons.
I'm gonna give it 4.4 and like a quarter here because I really like the finish of this one. It was, I think this was another match where it was like a lot of the spots were done really smoothly.
Mm.
I like the way they were teasing the Tower of Doom spot the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really enjoyed it in general, just because it was mass chaos.
Yeah, it was chaos for quite a, for.
And I think it was a very good Fatal 4-Way.
I enjoyed it. Like I said, I like that they incorporate each wrestler's past with each other. Drago and Akabarde mm-hmm. know each other well enough to both take out Snow and Orion, but also be able to know each other to have a good matchup with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the pacing was good. It's fast-paced, as expected. Some spots were a bit sloppy. There were, like, two I could think of. Others executed well, so it equals out in my mind, which is why I get it a little bit above it. Because, like, I was like, it's a good Fatal 4-Way.
Yeah.
It had some nice touches to it, though, I will say that. Let's get on to our final match, a match that does not involve Kabarde at all, surprisingly enough. Kaminari versus Stefan Prince for the Lone Star title. There is a decent amount of context for this match. These two used to be tag team partners. They were called Swagger, if I recall correctly, because Stefan put the swag in Swagger. I don't know why Kaminari got the Gurr part of it, but is what it is. At Table Fiesta, Stefan Prince betrayed him, though, and went on his own, and he disappeared for a while, and he came back as Stefan Prince. He had a name before this that I can't remember off the top of my head, unfortunately. But he's now going for the Lone Star title, which Kaminari had won, I assume, during his time as a single star. Probably as a result of him beating, like, Marty Snow for some of those matches that we saw earlier.
Yep.
So Stefan Prince.
Point is, going into this, Jibo Kaminari is a Lone Star champion.
Yeah, and both these men do not like each other in the slightest, and it is very evident at the start of this match.
Yeah,
Instant brawl.
Yeah, right off the bell rings, they're just murdering each other. But they blue fest press, they're rolling around, they're punching each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's no wrestling moves here. Starts off, this is a fight, baby. Yep.
And the moment we get to the outside, Stefan is like, "All right, we're fighting. Hey, sure, hold these ring posts to you," as he just throws them into ring posts over and over again. He beats the fuck out of Kaminari in the ring. But then Jimo finally gets back to his feet. He slides under a running knee from Stefan, hits him with a springboard crossbody. He aggressively then stomps Stefan in the corner as payback from the beating I just mentioned, before getting the wind taken out of him with a diving crossbody. Him and Jimo then go back and forth. Jimo hits him with a nasty-looking rope-assisted kill switch, which I was not fucking anticipating at all. Neither were commentary.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a sick-looking kill switch. Like if Chris,
it is.
Like honestly, God, I feel like Christian could use that, and it would look sick.
Too bad Christian's also hurt.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Just like
sake.
The entirety
yeah,
of the AEW roster.
Oh my God. Anywho.
Sorry, we're really excited for Dynamite tonight. Yeah.
These two, though, aren't hurt. They go back and forth with running strikes in the corner. Even though Jimo does stun Stefan with a back elbow to the face, Stefan stops him with a... he's basically stops Jimo with a in mid-air as he's trying to crossbody with a dropkick to the chest. That looked good.
Yeah.
Stefan, with Jimo's... basically, Jimo at this point is not in a good place. Stefan Irish whips him. Jimo goes for a springboard back elbow, and he counters out with a backstabber, and Jimo's back is just pain for the rest of this match. Stefan then proceeds to just attack his back, as well as kick him repeatedly as he falls backwards out of the ring. Gets him back in the ring. Stefan just keeps beating up Kaminari, and despite this, Kaminari starts to fight back with a series of quite exciting arm drags.
Yeah.
Like he was flying through the air arm dragging him. But this is quickly ended when Stefan destroys him with a double underhook swinging neckbreaker. And it doesn't get him the win, though, so he's now visibly frustrated. And he sets Kaminari up for a curb stomp. Mm-hmm. He goes for it, though. Jimmo dodges it and dives into the and drives him into the mat with a Fisherman Buster driver. Stefan now seems to be down for the count, so Jimmo goes for his corkscrew splash finisher, the Ben Bomb.
Yeah.
And while he does hit the move, upon his right leg hitting the mat, it immediately becomes too painful for him to pin Stefan, who had, by all matter in this match, is dead to rights lost at this point.
Yeah, the Ben Bomb is usually the finish, yeah. the end of the match.
And unfortunately for Jimmo, he is so determined to win this match after this that he fights through the pain, and he yanks up Stefan's leg as high as he can, and he puts it on the fucking rope. So the ref counts to three, but then realizes his foot's on the rope and is like, nope, match still goes.
That was an unfortunate mishap.
My heart goes out to Jimmo because, goddamn, that was a heartbreaker. So Stefan, now up, knocks Jimmo down with a springboard back elbow. He goes to the top rope and hit his frog splash finisher, but Jimmo sees this and stops him with a strike to the face. They're both down the top rope, and Jimmo then hits them both with Mikey's favorite move, one of his favorites at least, a Spanish fly off the top.
Avalanche Spanish fly!
Such a cool-looking move.
It was so dope!
But Jimmo comes out worse for wear, because we mentioned his right leg is quite hurt at the moment, and it slams right on the mat upon crashing.
Yep, which is also tough.
Mm-hmm. So they get up together, go right back to beat each other up, go blow for blow until Stefan hits Jimmo with two kicks. Stefan hits Jimmo with two kicks. Jimmo hits Stefan with a Pele kick. Very nice looking Pele kick, if I might add. They're both lying on the mat. They both get to their knees. We get another hockey fight. They continue this until they get to their feet. They take each other out, down again with a clothesline. They're both laying on their backs. It's like a full-on bear, like, just drag-out, bare-knuckle fight.
Yeah, it is.
And to the point now where both of them are now laying on the ground. They both nearly pin each other at the same time because they've just got their arms draped over each other.
After they clotheslined each other, yeah.
That was a nice spot. Eventually, they both do get back to their feet after both kicking out at two from this simultaneous accidental pin. And Stefan makes the first move by Irish whipping Jimmo.
What happens in a title match if they both pin each other?
I don't know. If I were booking this, best 2 out of 3 falls.
Fair enough. Or does it just go to everyone's favorite 2022 superstar interim?
God.
Or vacant.
Vacant. The fucking one of the longest reigning title holders in the history of professional wrestling.
Give it up for vacant, everybody.
Give it up for vacant. So, as I said, Jimmo's now been Irish whipped by Stefan, but he counters that with a tilt-a-whirl that he transitions into a nasty looking arm bar that he yanks on Stefan's arm like his life fucking depends on it. Mm-hmm. Like he's cranking this shit, and Stefan barely gets a rope break. Jimmo literally refuses to let go of this hold for like a couple seconds. Like that's how much he wants to win. The face is even like, I want to hurt this man as much as possible and I want to win.
Mm-hmm. I have till 5.
He refuses to lose to this backstabbing bastard of a former friend. As a result of this, Stefan tries to go to the outside to get some space, but nowhere is safe from Jimmo, and he gets taken out cannonball style with a suicide dive, which knocks him into several chairs.
Class, listen, it happened a lot tonight.
Yep, he rolls Stefan into the ring, and Jimmo goes for a springboard attack, but Stefan ducks under him, and in midair, a la Kurt Angle, grabs his injured right leg out of the sky, and
this was so brutal.
Locks him in an ankle lock, falls to the ground, full grapevine, full fuck you, eat that ankle lock, and God, Jimmo just is in pure pain. Life is pain for him at this point. He's just dragging himself to the bottom rope. Gets his hands on barely. Stefan is like, fuck. Goes to Irish whip him. Jimmo counters with one of his own, but he goes to run after Stefan, but he collapses. So after Jimmo collapses from this Irish whip, and it is a fucking travesty, Stefan's literally like, oh shit. Sucks to be you. So the ref goes to pick Jimmo up. But what he should have been doing was look at Stefan, who is basically waiting for Jimmo to stand up. He goes to super kick him, and he hits the ref instead. Poor ref. Yeah. Homeboy dies.
Oh my god, that ref absolutely... Oh, the sell from the ref was impeccable. Just dead, like, took it and just... Phew, bonk.
So,
dead.
Stefan sees this. Chimo is still in pain from his leg, and he's like, I can win, but not in the way that you want me to. Gets the Lone Star title, and might I add, very stiffly hits Chimo across the face. Like, I heard the belt hit him. I was like, oh, you actually hit him with this fucking belt, didn't you?
Yeah.
Right across the face. Hits him with the frog splash.
You heard the big old bonk.
Yep. Bonk. After the bonk, that splash, those two things combined, it's not enough. Chimo submits to the pin. Stefan is the new Lone Star champion.
Yeah.
And God, with how slow this ref fucking counted, I actually thought Chimo was going to kick out at somehow like two. Nope. No happy ending here. I really like this match. It felt like a high-stakes main event between two people who absolutely despise each other. And the crowd, commentary, and these two just literally whipping out new shit on each other really enhanced the feeling of this match. I also thought the pacing was good, too. It was a bit longer, but it felt also easy for me to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Personally for me, I'm going to give it 4.5 doubloons.
I agree. I like 4.5 doubloons. I think that's a solid point for that.
While it wasn't as technically well executed as the first match, it made up for it in spades with the story that this match told.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it was a great story between these two being former tag team partners into bitter rivals, now fighting over this Lone Star title, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell how much you could tell they absolutely had a ton of animosity for each other, and it definitely showed in this match because both of these guys were willing to do anything to each other to beat the other guy, right? I don't think it was even about the title at some point. I think it stopped being about the title and more about who's the better guy.
Mm-hmm. With that, we are done.
I agree. That is all of our matches this week from Pro Wrestling Legacy over in El Paso, Texas. You could go check them out. Over at all the links we have in the description down below for Pro Wrestling Legacy. We'll send you away to all their social medias, all their YouTubes, whatever they got. All the links in the description down below. I don't know why I'm pointing at the camera saying down below, like you guys can see me on this audio medium.
We're Italians, we talk with our hands.
Exactly. But that is about it for this week's episode. So that just leaves me with the plugs. Or preview for next week's episode, I guess, which we're going to be looking at another wrestling company, which we won't tell you about. So come back next week for a surprise, suckers. Oh, God.
Dying.
I worked myself into a shoot, brother. Anyway, plugs. We have a Discord, which you should go join. Link in the description as well. The Countout Discord, it is where all of the people who are fans of the Countout Network like to hang out, chat about whatever's going on in the wrestling world, which is a lot right now. So if you want to jump into the discussion, go head over to the Countout Twitter and talk to people and see what's going on. You can also follow us on Twitter at Andy Waters or follow the Countout Network on Twitter at Countout Pod, where we share our thoughts on the world of wrestling and the world in general. And you can see where the links to all of our episodes over on our Twitter as well, and links to any matches we check out here on this show. You can also find over on our Twitter, and you could go subscribe to the Countout Patreon if you want more Indie Waters and more content from the Countout Network. Go subscribe to the Patreon. We have three different tiers: a $3 tier, a $5 tier, and a $10 tier, all with super cool perks. So go check that out. Link is also in the description. Go check out the YouTube channel, the Facebook page, all of our other social medias. We have an Instagram now, all Countout Pod, Countout Podcast, some version of it. You can find it. And again, once again, I'm going to say it one more time, links in the description. I think that about does it for the plugs. Oh, I guess go check out our merch store on TeePublic. We have a bunch of cool merch over there. We have an Andy Waters t-shirt. There's How to Talk to Your Friend About. There's t-shirts for every podcast we have here on the Countout Network. So go check out our TeePublic store now. We have that, which is very, very cool. And I believe that about does it for the plug. Zach, you got anything?
No.
Didn't think so. So that just leaves me with one thing left to say, and that is to remember, there's a gigantic sea of independent wrestling out there.
So never stop exploring.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.